Hi, I'm Lisa Smith Henderson, and this is the debut of Lili Logic. Lili was my childhood nickname. It's also my grandmother name. And Lili is who I am when I'm not being a radio personality. Lili is probably really me, me. This podcast is about talking about life, the things that we don't necessarily talk about often. And my very first podcast today was an inspiration from a dear friend of mine, Byron Fogan, who said, this would be a great topic. And I said, okay, you choose. We had a couple of choices. And he chose this one, dating in recovery. So I'd like to introduce you to Byron. He is a recovering alcoholic and problem gambler. He's got 11 years sober, and he has a degree in international relations from Georgetown University, a law degree from Albany Law School, which is in not Georgia, but upstate New York. And his story is fascinating. If you look him up, you'll see he had a dramatic rise and a dramatic fall, including a short stay in federal prison. But his sobriety is what I find absolutely remarkable. Byron lives in Atlanta. He works as a consultant. He does harm reduction, community-based recovery, public health initiatives. He also writes and speaks on the topic of recovery and addiction. So I'm delighted. Oh, and you can follow Byron. I'll put this also in the notes on Instagram at dat dude Byron, DAT. DudeByron on Instagram. Now that we've gotten the housekeeping out of the way, I want to introduce my dear friend Byron. So let's get right to the meat of it. Byron, I'd like for you to give me just a little recap of your dating history as a teenager. I'm guessing that was before you were in active addiction, and then inactive addiction, and then, or what it was like after that.
I think that the place where I can start is I started dating right around the time I started drinking. So I started drinking at 14, and that's really when my dating started. In fact, I know the date that I had my first drink. I had my first drink on July 2nd of 1986, which I was 14 at the time, and I had just met my first girlfriend about a week before that. I know her birthday is very close to that date. I met her. I lied about my age and I started dating an older woman. She was like 16 or something like that. And it's funny because really I started drinking alcoholically. So, like, my first drink was an alcoholic style drinking experience. And I started dating alcoholically too. I fell very quickly, madly in love with my first girlfriend. And my conduct was subpar. I wanted to be with her all the time, much like I drank. And it was kind of a sick little toxic relationship. And that's how my dating started. I was extremely promiscuous in high school. I am the survivor of sexual abuse as a child. And I think, without having any degrees that suggest I would have knowledge of this, I think a lot of that had to do with my conduct as a dater early. I spent a lot of time looking for other people to validate my sexual identity. And that was the story of my dating in high school. I was seeking young women who would help me validate my sexual identity, having gone through the trauma of a same-sex sexual abuse circumstance, right? As my drinking progressed, I thought that was normal conduct. Right. So by the time I got to college, I found myself a girlfriend. But, my conduct even during that period of time was kind of subpar because no one person could grant me the thing that I was looking for, which was that validation. And so then it became a cycle. All of these things by the time I moved into my early 20s had just become normalized. So my promiscuity became normalized. I normalized other people's promiscuity, and then I was drinking to numb all of the feelings that I had. So pretty much nothing was out of bounds. And that's how I dated. I dated looking for other people to validate me or looking for other people to solve problems that I hadn't solved in my life. That's a brief history up until the point where I got married. And what I did when I got married is I went the complete opposite direction. I ended up marrying someone, and I won't talk a lot about individuals, and I'm certainly not going to talk a lot about my ex-wife. But one of the things that I can say unequivocally is that I married someone who I thought would make me better. She was a very religious woman. She was a very spiritual woman. She was someone who did not drink, didn't smoke, didn't do all the things that I was up to. And by the time I got to the place where I was dating her and getting ready to marry her, I really did believe I sought outside a solution to a problem that I had inside. And that's why I chose the wife that I chose. And that's why I continued on the path that I chose to be on with her, because there was something inside me that thought, my relationship with her would make me better. And I think that's really the key to my dating life. Like, a lot of things that I did as a dater was focused on making me feel better about me. A lot of it had to do with some kind of external validation that I was getting from either acting in an extremely promiscuous manner, in the reverse, choosing a partner that I thought would make me look better, feel better, seem better to the rest of the world.
And I can track with your thinking. It makes sense to me. Like, okay, you date somebody that doesn't drink and all that. Did it work?
It didn't work.
Oh,
It didn't
damn it.
work at all. And it didn't work for even a minute. In fact, it made me feel worse because I knew the truth, right? It was kind of that imposter syndrome. I knew the truth. I knew I wasn't any different. I could get away with it for a little while. And only for a little while. Like, my first marriage only lasted just over 2 years because it was unsustainable. Like, we had a child and I went back to doing what good alcoholics do. I behaved in a good alcoholic manner. And that was an intolerable circumstance for both her and for me. And yet I still tried, right? So after I got divorced the first time, I continued this conduct. I continued to look for somebody who was going to help me feel externally validated.
So, Byron, do you think there was a part of you, though? I mean, I'm going a little philosophical, but that saw that in her, knew you had that capability and you wanted it, and this seemed like a fast track?
My story is a little different than that. I did not believe, and this is intertwining like my recovery journey and my dating journey. But at that time in my life, I did not believe there was any solution for me, right? I thought I was irredeemably damaged. And I thought that about the trauma that I had gone through as a survivor of sexual abuse. And I thought that about my early conduct in dating, right? I talked about it, and I don't want to be too provocative, but I talked about it, right? I was an extremely, extremely promiscuous person, seeking validation from any place I could get it. And so by the time I was in my mid-20s, I thought I was irredeemable individually. I thought the only way that I was going to get redemption is to be good to someone who was good. But I did not believe that was within me by myself. Right.
Okay.
I didn't think that that was something that I could achieve. I needed someone else to help me validate that.
All right, so let's fast forward to you get sober. Are you
Right.
still married? What's the deal there?
So I remarried my ex-wife. So I got married twice to the same person. And this was before I got sober. I was still conducting myself in the exact same way. I was still seeking the same validation, all the rest of this jazz. But there came a day where I found recovery and I found sobriety. And again, without talking too much about another person, I'm trying to talk about just my journey. What I found was that the foundation that I had built my life just didn't work for me anymore, right? The reasons I had gotten married, the reasons that I did some of the things that I did career-wise, the reasons that I had some of the friends, not all the friends, but some of the friends that I had, all those things were designed, I think, for me to drink and use drugs the way I wanted to, right? And when I got sober, none of that stuff worked anymore, including, it turned out, my marriage, unfortunately. And so I found myself in recovery, in early recovery, still doing some of the same stuff. So I got rid of the wife, right? I got rid of that relationship, but I still found myself doing the same thing. Only this time, I was trying to save somebody else. I wasn't looking for them to save me. So the role reversed a little bit. I was seeking out partners who needed saving as opposed to seeking out partners who would save me. And I got those results too, which also sucked.
You mean you weren't successful in saving the wounded birds?
I was never successful in saving the wounded birds, and it was unlikely that I was going to be. It was also unlikely that they wanted to be saved, right? So I was making my own value judgment on other people's lives that did not work. So I went through that process for the first probably 2 years I was in recovery. And finally, I had someone who I care and trust who just sat me down and talked to me about the real circumstance I was in with regards to how I approached dating and with regards to how I approached the opposite sex. And that started me on a huge journey where I really started to dig into like my opinions on masculine and feminine relating, my understanding on what dating and coupling should look like, and how I could show up better in my presence and power, the power that God had given me, the power that I have as a divine masculine person, and started to treat myself and others with a little bit of respect, a little bit of that saying that act like a man who prayed today. I started to try to behave that way. And the results I got from doing that were vastly different than any of the results that I got in the previous 27 years of active addiction or even playing around in early recovery.
So, did you date anyone in recovery?
I
Like
have.
after you've had your little epiphany, I won't
So,
say
no. So,
what.
no. Not after I had my little epiphany. I was trying to heal the wounded birds. And part of my epiphany was, we're just in recovery. I have this view, and it was a view that was shared with me, that we're just some sick people trying to get well, right? I work a 12-step program. We are a self-help program, and so it's just a bunch of people who are, they have this common issue, and we have found a common solution. And so one of the things that I had to stop doing, that I had to stop doing for my own recovery's sake, is I had to stop casting myself into the middle of somebody else's recovery. Who am I to replace God in somebody's life? And how quickly will I slip if I let someone else do the same for me? So one of the first and earliest decisions I made on this path was to stop dating women in recovery. In fact, there was a number of years where I would not speak to women in recovery, period. Like, this was like my
Well,
sponsor.
that'll definitely stop the dating process if you don't speak.
Yeah, my sponsor was very much like, yeah, you don't have to. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. I have modified that a little bit over the years, but yeah, so I don't date women in recovery, but I don't date women that drink either, or at least drink alcoholically as I can see it. Someone can, if I see somebody can have a social drink, no problem. But it's important for me to just kind of stay out of people's way, right? There's a God, I'm not it, and I just try to stay out of people's way and stay out of women's way, which has given me vastly better results. Hasn't really resulted in a love match, but it's given me vastly different results in the world.
All right, so
What's
that
your
explains.
experience like? I feel like I'm running off at the mouth, like.
No, I love hearing other people's experiences, especially in recovery, because I go full out on everything. So I think my love and fantasy addiction was present when I was probably five. I was always had a crush on some boy,
Right.
and that was what made life worth living. And then unfortunately, it ended up putting me in suicidal places a couple of times, even in recovery from my alcoholism, because I couldn't stand the thought of not being with a man or my husband or something. So for me, it was different. Like I was operating on that premise kind of from the get-go. So I was just a serial marrier. A serial monogamist, but I mean, the first man I married, I knew him 6 weeks. And we got married. And then, and then we split up, and then I remarried my ex-husband. And then it was similar to your story. I mean, it was a lot of dating, some of which I have very little recall.
Yes,
And
right.
I had a good friend who got in. We were both in radio together, and he got into recovery much later than I did. And I met him for lunch in New York, and he was like, "Lisa, did we ever sleep together?" And I said, "I was thinking the same thing." I said, "I think one of us would have remembered it." But it was that kind of life I was living. Like, I don't know, it was sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the 80s, and it was crazy. So there wasn't any like external. So my solution when I got sober was to marry somebody that I married my best friend, which I great for conversation, not great for a passionate life. And he's the father of my children, and we're still, I won't say best friends, but we're still friendly. And then I met my husband, who died several years ago, and I knew him 5 months. That seemed like a long time to me. I was like, well, 5 months? Now I think about it, it's like, God Almighty, I didn't know any. And it's a miracle we made it 20 years. There was definitely a real soul connection, but he was not in recovery. And God bless him. He didn't understand at all. He was very supportive, but it did become an issue living in another country that was a very drinking culture. Because he could drink socially, I couldn't drink, and it became very unfun. And I became very isolated and ended up moving back to the States so that I could get my recovery community kind of back with me. I don't think he ever understood that. I mean, he was supportive and wonderful, but somebody that doesn't have these issues, and as far as I could tell, he wasn't addicted to anything.
I can imagine.
I have no regrets at all. But now I'm finding in sobriety and being single again, what is it like to date? Like to get to know somebody and go, yeah, it's probably not a very good fit. Good luck to you, somebody else. Nice to meet you. I think you could be a friend. No, maybe not. Good luck. Hope you meet somebody. So really experimenting with getting to know people without throwing all the fantasy. I'm by no means cured. I will still assign you magical qualities, Byron, and any other man. It's like, oh yeah, he's probably really my hero. Yeah, so I think it's different. And also, I don't know about you, but I'm shy. I don't seem shy, but not having alcohol to kind of loosen things up makes it more difficult to date. Do you find that?
So I'm extremely painfully, I can describe it. I'm painfully introverted. I'm not shy at all. So those are two very different things as far as I'm concerned. So my need for alone time in order to recharge has been something that I have dragged into my life as a person in recovery. And I'll tell you what, that is not easy in the dating sphere, right? When you're telling somebody up front, I'm going to need plenty of alone time if this is going to work at all. That's kind of a hard first conversation to have, right? I'm telling you right off the bat, I can't spend a lot of time with you, or else I become something that I don't like, right? When my social media runs to empty, I'm not nice, right? I seek my opportunity to isolate. I guess that would be the right word. I will do anything to get my opportunity to isolate, even if that means starting an argument, right? I'm
Hey, it
deeply in
works. It works
self-disclosure
if you
here, but
want.
even if that means starting an argument that would get you to leave me alone for a couple of days, or get one to leave me alone for a couple of days. Like that is something that is completely within my capacity, even as a person who lives in recovery and tries to live joyous, happy, and free, right? I still know I have that in my capacity. That has been my biggest difficulty. It's finding that balance of spending time with somebody and wanting to talk to them while still wanting to be with them, while still trying to find my own autonomy. I guess Some of it is probably, if I got too psychological, some of it's probably fear of enmeshment. Like, I don't want to be enmeshed in somebody else's life so much that I can't separate me from them. We could do hours on that topic. But
That sounds healthy to me,
what?
to not want to be enmeshed.
Oh, it is absolutely healthy, but it's something that I have not practiced but for a very few years in my life, right? So, I'm stretching some new muscles. I am forming some new muscles. I'm practicing some things that I did not do in my early younger years. But I like it. I feel better about the whole process. I feel like I could date in a healthy way today. The funny thing is we as we're having this conversation and we're talking about dating and recovery, some of the conclusions I came to is that I don't need to date in the same way that I used to. And so I don't, which is miraculous. Like, you to be able to make that kind of decision, which was not a decision that I could make in my early years. I could not make the decision to be single. You talked about it a little bit. I had some serial monogamy in me, but I was a serial cheat. Like, I needed validation all the time from women specifically. I just needed validation all the time. No matter what kind of relationship I was in, I would feel empty without that validation, or even frightened. Like, I would feel all these things without that validation. I find it so healthy today that I don't seek it. I don't need it. That's one of my miracles of recovery. I don't need it.
So my question to you is, do you believe you can grow outside of a relationship the same way you grow inside of a relationship?
That's a tough question. I think there's certain types of growth that take place in certain types of relationships. And it's really important for me, no matter what I'm doing, to really check my motives and check to see whether what I'm doing is consistent with who I believe myself to be today, right? So, yes, there may be these opportunities for growth within a relationship. And that may be an extremely valid reason to be to be in a relationship. And that might be a great motivation. But I have to be careful that that is not my motivation to to throw myself into somebody else's life. For me, that would be an extremely self-serving motivation that I have to grow. And so the only way I can do it is through her, right? That sounds an
Right.
awful lot like what my
Right.
marriage was like.
Like unhealthiness.
Right. I try to make sure that I look at all the motives. Like, if this relationship can be mutually beneficial, if this relationship is something where we can share love and we can grow together, and I can allow for her growth as well, and I can allow for the possibility that she will grow faster than me and move on. If I can allow for all of those possibilities, then it's probably a good fit. If I go down my motive list and I see that, all these motives are pretty self-serving towards Byron. I probably shouldn't be doing it. I probably should release her back into the wild, which, and let her go pursue the thing that she wanted to pursue.
I mean, it's tricky for anyone, but in recovery, we're sort of trained to look at what is our intention, what is our motive, what is this overarching theme. And I will say, in many ways, I'm happier being single, but I am not growing in the same ways that I did in relationship because everything's kind of even, like if I'm in relationship with someone and they do something that wounds me, I'm always like, oh, that's my wound. Okay, how do I deal with it? And then I have to get to, okay, is this unacceptable behavior and it's just triggering my wound, or is it really just my wound? I spent months in a relationship last year doing that. Like, is this my core consciousness or is this my child wounding? And what I finally came to was, oh, this is my core consciousness going out. Not a good fit. Very danger, danger. Byron, I cannot thank you enough. This has been so fun. And I think we have more of these in our future. Coming up next week, we'll be talking about this same topic, dating and recovery, but we'll also be talking about how water finds its own level. Like, do you attract people who are emotionally, psychologically at the same level as you are? Plus a bunch of other topics. Women, this is fascinating because it gives you Byron's perspective, a viewpoint from a man, and also my viewpoint as a woman, both of us being in recovery. So thanks for joining us today for Lee Lee Logic. And you can visit us, leeleelogic.com. And to check out Byron's Instagram, you can go to @datdudebyron on Instagram. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.